Hello everyone, good morning. Welcome to another podcast session of Markets Today, brought to you by HISA and the Kenyan Wall Street team. My name is Felix Ocheng, and today I'm joined by an upcoming analyst. His name is Davis. Probably Davis can introduce himself, and then we can probably proceed on today's session. Once again, remember, Markets Today basically gives you a review of what happened last week as we pick up on what to probably expect this week and giving investors a way forward on a few of the metrics that they can use on investing on the NSE and also on global markets. Davis.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Yeah, I'm so glad to be here this morning. My name is Davis Kadinji, as Felix has mentioned, an upcoming financial analyst, who's been a long-time friend of Felix.
Thanks a lot, Davis, for joining us. Maybe we just dive in into what's moving markets over the past few days. We've seen the NSE week on week. We know the NSE All Share Index gained, but then we're also seeing the NSE 20 and the NSE 25 Share Index shedding a few basis points over the past few weeks. So what's your take on that?
Well, I know selling pressures are still high in that particular regard, but I'm actually optimistic with regard to our local markets, and actually all African markets, all emerging markets in a sense, because I'm seeing large amounts of foreign inflows coming into these markets. So going forward, we could start seeing possible signs of a recovery for our markets. You know, a large portion of outflows really left around when the coronavirus hit. That was around March last year, when the lockdowns began, etc. But now we're seeing those flows coming back, you know, especially considering how highly valued, or let's say overbought, foreign stocks are. It looks like everyone is coming in looking for returns here. And also possibly considerations being made with regard to Biden's tax policies. You know, taxes are really going to go up, so that will affect foreign company incomes, of course, in the US, and also it will affect dividend returns. So I see more foreigners who still dominate our markets coming back, and so a possible recovery in our markets, even though selling pressures right now are still a bit high. Yes.
Interesting. Last week we saw Safaricom post a decline week on week for the first time, I think, in about a month. Safaricom had a decline, closing lower, shedding, I think, about 2%.
Yeah.
I don't know, what's your overview on Safaricom, considering you've mentioned something about foreign investors? Looking from an angle that Safcom has one of the highest foreign exposure, has one of the highest interest when it comes to foreigners investing on the exchange. What's your take? Do you think this week we are likely to see a decline in Safcom, or it's probably going to push in for the positive?
It's quite hard to say. I think a technical analyst would have to look into that one. With Safaricom, okay, on my personal view,
do you think the company is it's overbought, or do you think it's oversold? Do you think it's a hold at this time? What's your take?
It's overbought. Okay, of course, people. I mean, you have to look at Safaricom as a whole. It's always defied every bear market. You know, it's seemingly this is where the returns are coming from, especially for foreigners. It has the liquidity, and you know, has good metrics. It's seemingly the best company to buy into. My concern would be that, okay, and we see this, of course, in global stocks. People are not buying into the present, of course, you're buying into the future in a sense. If you look at Safaricom with regard to its past financials, how you'd value it would be a bit lower than what it's trading at right now. And especially when you take into consideration the fact that they had to remove transaction costs, you know, to stop, you know, to aid the economy in a sense, that people are not hurt by the transaction costs, etc. But still, in the face of that, it continues pushing up, you know. So it could possibly be a case of profit taking for the short term, but of course long term, I believe always long Safaricom, especially with the prospects of expansion into Ethiopia. Yeah, a lot of good prospects there. And so, okay, on my personal view, it's overbought, but again, considering how strong it's been over time and continues to be, it's still a good buy.
All right. Maybe just as we try and see what's happening on the local markets, because I know most of our listeners usually ask a lot of questions regarding the local market. We're looking on major companies that have declined over time. We saw Bamburi post a bit of gain. We are seeing investment banks, and just going through a few reports, I've seen a report, a research report from Ganges Capital Investment Bank, issuing a buy recommendation for Kenya Re. I've also seen a hold recommendation by FIDA Investment Bank. So what's generally your take on the insurance sector? Would you really advise, as a good opinion, for guys to buy into the insurance, considering for me, I always think our insurance sector, yes, long term, it might be a good opportunity. We're still underinsured. The insurance penetration in our country is still very low, and so long term could actually be a good idea. But I'm still, I don't know if the insurance sector was also hit last year, and considering these are penny stocks, most of the insurance companies fall under the penny stock segment, where they trade less than 10 shillings. So I really think that penny stocks are usually very volatile. I don't know what probably you could say with relation to that.
Insurance sector. I actually saw, I'm not sure if it, an analysis by AIB, which said that all of them, in fact, the entire sector is undervalued by around 70%. I found that interesting. I'm not sure how the insurance premiums perform. I do believe that there has been a reduction in that particular regard, though we'd have to check the data on that, with regard to people paying the insurance premiums, considering how tight pockets have been, you know, with the onset of the virus, etc. But I also think the claims have been less, in a sense. You know, that could also be a boost to the sector. But yes, that's my minimal knowledge of the insurance sector.
Okay, maybe just to also just to give you guys a heads up, Davis does a very good analysis on energy sectors. I don't know, Davis, what's your take on KenGen and KPLC? Would you tell someone to buy into these companies at the moment? Just giving us a brief overview, probably what you think, and probably if you could generally, as we always say, whatever we discuss in this podcast is not a recommendation. You finally need to make that decision by doing your personal analysis. All this is just to guide you and find ways forward. So Davis is just giving us a little bit of opinions on what he as an individual investor would do. That doesn't necessarily mean you're supposed to do the same. So Davis, maybe you could just give us a brief of what you think of the energy segment, KenGen, KPLC.
Okay, maybe I could start with KenGen. That's a very strong company. In fact, I like the new different strategies. I believe they want to do what? Expand into actually giving an electricity by retail. Their own, you know, retailing in a sense. Mm-hmm. Being, you know, directly giving it to consumers, also converting, I think, waste into, So the prospects of KenGen are really good. The problem is they're reliant on KPLC. And KPLC has a lot of problems. First of all, okay, we're still waiting for the full year 20 numbers to come out. But among the problems that they have is the debt fuel expansion that they've gone into is really hurting them, especially considering that the tariffs were reduced. You know, this was, of course, on the back of consumers complaining over the high tariffs, etc. But without... and this is among the things we're waiting for. Without a tariff review upwards, the company at one point or another is likely to announce bankruptcy. The problem is that, you know, the reason why they took up a lot of debt for expansion is because of the last mile project. And actually that project, that program by the government has had a lot of progress. You know, Kenya has been one of the fastest, has had one of the fastest growth trajectories with regard to electricity penetration in the world, actually. Now the problem is there's an uptick in revenue in us, okay, but it's kind of leveling off. But also there's an uptick in the amount of connections, etc., but there's a downtick in the revenue per customer. You see, there are extreme problems associated with the amount of expansion that they've gone into. You get, so customers are not paying their bills, because considering a lot of these families, these are families in villages, deep inside villages. So getting electricity to them, it only makes financial sense if many families are around one central location, etc., because of all the costs associated with the same. And then this is really dimming KPLC's revenue prospects, because families like those would rather buy food, buy clothes, etc., rather than pay for electricity, you know.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that increasing operational expenses, and then their debts are just really, really bad, you know. They have to, they're right now surviving on bank overdrafts to just sustain day-to-day operations. And then I believe they're also engaging, okay, on the bright side, they're also engaging the banks that they owe money to, you know, having moratoriums, etc., so that they can restructure their debts. But they can only do this so much without changes occurring. So KPLC, that one, it depends on your risk metric.
Okay, guys. Yeah. I guess maybe one of these days we will just have a special podcast for KPLC. When Davis is ready, we'll be able to invite him back so that he can be able to break it down. I know some of you are probably wondering what he's mentioning. A few of the things might be technical, but I know he's put most of he's probably put most of the analysis to a layman's language. If you have any challenge or if you need any clarifications, don't worry, you can always give us a brief on the comment section, and then our team will be able to expound on it. So I think we can have that for the local markets on the equity space. Last week we saw central bank issue bonds, and bonds were oversubscribed. The treasury bills were oversubscribed. The bond was also oversubscribed as well. Our government is still pretty hungry for money, and I think investors will also try and look onto the fixed income segment over the next few, at least the next few months or so. Probably, in my opinion, I think it's still going to continue until the end of 2022, after the elections, because elections usually put our country at a little bit of a heated investment segment. I believe that would be a challenge. So for the fixed income segment, once again, you can always be able to go for it. If you can be able to invest in the treasury bills, you can always be able to go for it. I think that's always, the fixed income segment is always a little bit more open to investors. And whenever there's an opportunity, jump into it. As we wrap up today's session, maybe Davis also has been doing a little bit of an overview on global stocks. We saw last week Joe Biden was inaugurated, and immediately he got to work, man. Within the first 2 hours, he'd already signed about a dozen. He had already signed about a dozen, what do they call it? Presidential orders. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays on Wall Street. Also, considering his nominee, that was Yellen. We spoke about that the other time. What's your take? Which companies are you looking for in global markets this week?
Well, I actually believe a lot of results are coming out this week. Yeah. Microsoft, possibly Visa. Mm-hmm. I know that there are many giving out the results. A really good company, I believe, is Microsoft. Mm-hmm. The way they've just diversified their revenue streams, their leadership, and the CEO, it's just been amazing to see. And in fact, one of the loudest or good indicators that you might notice is they were very absent in those antitrust lawsuits. Like in the past, I would have said Facebook is a good company, and actually the growth prospects, considering the expansion with regard to WhatsApp in India, you know, becoming more of a fintech platform of sorts. There's a lot of growth prospects. However, in light of recent developments, especially social media sites shutting down Donald Trump, you know, those have far-reaching effects. Because the fear may be that, what if they do this to us as leaders, in a sense? Mm-hmm. So this may actually add fuel to the fire for the antitrust suit against Facebook and, yeah, Google and the like.
Yeah.
So the major risks facing global markets, especially with focus to the US, are Biden's tax policies. When all things considered, for example, when you take into account both corporate taxes and dividend taxes on dividend, for example, your potential earnings are reduced by at least 60% if Biden's tax policies go forward, you know. And so they'll keep on increasing taxes and taxes, which may not be the most prudent considering the times, considering that while companies' valuations are extremely high, there hasn't been a recovery per se. Yes, there's been an exponential growth with regard to technology as people went online, etc. But a lot of the companies, they haven't recovered. A lot of companies have taken on debt, of course, at extremely low rates, which is good. You know, they can operate for now. The problem is, remember, that debt has interest payments, etc. If growth does not, or demand for goods and services does not return to what it was pre-COVID, mm-hmm. these guys have heavy balance sheets right now that they need to cater to, interest expenses that they need to cater to, which will weigh down their earnings. So in light of course, the main thing that's driving the markets is the Fed printing money, because a lot of this money results in asset price inflation, something that you may not think that your inflation is there, but that's just because of the shortcomings of the consumer price index. Unfortunately, it doesn't show inflation of assets. So there's a lot of money that is chasing returns, which is pushing up valuations. You know, a company like Tesla, for example, is trading at over 10 years what its potential earnings are, even mm-hmm. if it were to take approximately 50% of the electric vehicle market. Again, people say, of course, you know, don't value it as a company, look at it as a tech firm, but you know, we've 90% of its revenues come from car sales, etc. So you have to value it as what it is right now, because the variables will get really mixed up if you value it as what it's not, you know, assumptions and the like. So it will be interesting to see what happens going forward. Money may actually stay in the market, the equity market in the US, because of taxes, because people, when they sell, capital gains tax comes in. So yeah, you may see money possibly just being plowed in there, but even these stimulus checks that are coming in and people are investing in stocks, it may go right back to the government because of taxes. So people may opt to keep the money there. But again, like I stated earlier, we'll see a lot of inflows towards especially emerging markets, markets that have taken a beating over the past years as investors really chase returns.
Yeah,
in a sense. So global markets, I'm not sure how much growth there is there, because again, you're not investing in the present. You're investing a lot for a lot of these companies over 10 years into the future. Yeah.
All right. I think that will be interesting. So probably for the coming week, we're going to try look on to the results, the reports as this company, as the results stream in, there's likely to be a little bit of effect as well. I think that's it, everyone. That's it for today's session. I know it's been a little bit brief. Don't worry, guys, we'll probably invite Davis to more of the sessions, and then we'll also have a special session where we discuss purely on the energy segment. Once again, remember, you can always view your markets. You can always try and look into the markets by downloading the HISA app on your mobile phone, following markets, and also listening to this podcast as well. Thank you all, and have a lovely week ahead. Happy investing. Bye-bye. Davis, any last words?
Nothing much. Just happy
Sorry, investing. Sorry, guys. I almost forgot. I closed this before actually Davis would say his last words. I don't know.
Okay, maybe... invest money that you're willing to lose in the markets, especially if you're focusing on foreign markets. The amount of risk that you'll be taking on right now is quite high. But mm-hmm. I see the prospects in our local markets to be quite significant going forward. Of course, bearing in mind that an election year is next year. But yeah, so with all this in mind, invest money that you can afford to lose. Not that you'll lose it, but rather not money that you'll need immediately, in a sense.
Okay, guys, I hope you've had that. Invest money that you are willing to lose. That you can lose. We're not willing to lose any money. But that's it for today's session, guys. See you guys on next week again on Monday for Markets Today. Have a lovely week.